Capital Insider, sponsored by the Oklahoma State Medical Association. Physician members who are committed to better health for all Oklahomans. Learn more at okmed.org.
This is Capital Insider, taking you inside politics, policy, and government in Oklahoma. I'm Dick Pryor with Quorum Call publisher Sean Ashley. Sean, the end of the 2025 legislative session is near, and the fiscal year 2026 budget and tax cut plan have passed both houses and are in the hands of the governor. What will this agreement mean for state government and Oklahomans in the year ahead?
The $12.59 billion budget is less than a 1% increase in spending, so most agencies are going to see flat or, in a few cases, even smaller budgets. Now, at the same time, there are some big projects in this budget. $200 million for a new pediatric heart hospital at OU Health, $250 million for the OSU Veterinary Medical Facility, and $312 million to purchase a prison, the Lawton Correctional Center for the Department of Corrections. Taxpayers will see the effect of the tax bill at the beginning of 2026 when the bottom three income tax brackets are eliminated and the top individual income tax rate drops to 4.5% from 4.75%. That should mean more take-home pay for those who receive a paycheck.
This was a complicated deal, and it's a lot more than a plan for appropriations and tax cuts.
There are lots of moving parts, and I think they all moved this past week. There are more than 30 bills that implement the budget agreement. Some are what we call budget limit bills that tell state agencies how to spend the money they are being appropriated. There was the $255 million incentive program to help attract the $4 billion aluminum smelter firm that will build a facility in Oklahoma. The state is still managing several hundred million dollars from the American Rescue Plan Act, ARPA, which brought $1.8 billion into the state in 2020. So there are several bills that removed excess or unspent ARPA funds from one project, and then another bill that reappropriated those funds to other projects.
Now that the budget and tax cuts have been sent to the governor, what's left for lawmakers to do?
House Speaker Kyle Hilbert told reporters there may be some bills coming out of conference committees where the final language was being written. One of those bills that puts in place the specifics of the business courts that were authorized in 2024 and includes things like where they will be located, how their judges will be selected, and how much they will be paid are part of the budget agreement and need to be passed. Hilbert and Senate President Pro Tem Lonnie Paxton said they also would discuss which of Governor Stitt's more than 40 vetoes, if any, they will attempt to override.
So Governor Kevin Stitt is signing and vetoing bills. He is also continuing his unusual practice of allowing bills to become law without his signature. Why is he doing that?
Stitt has allowed more than 180 bills to become law without his signature. That is more than he has signed and vetoed combined. So I asked him about that on Wednesday. Stitt said he is signing bills that are his priorities. He signed, for example, the bell-to-bell school cell phone ban that he touted in his State of the State speech. After that, Stitt said he is only signing those things that he thinks moves Oklahoma forward. And if he thinks the bill is not good for the state, Stitt said he will veto it. A lot of this stuff, these aren't my priorities, Stitt told me. These aren't something that I think are going to move the needle. And so I just simply let them go into law without my signature.
Law is also made in Oklahoma through the initiative petition process, votes of the people on state questions. But that process would change dramatically through a bill that has been sent to the governor. Supporters call it an election integrity bill. Opponents say it will make it tougher for citizens to place state questions on the ballot. What does this bill do?
A lot. Senate Bill 1027 sets a cap on the number of signatures that can be gathered in each county. It also establishes a number of requirements for those who collect signatures, and it modifies the requirements for how an initiative petition will be written and the process for reviewing it. Stitt on Wednesday talked positively, sometimes even favorably, about the initiative petition process. But over the last several years, he has signed a number of bills somewhat similar to this one that have placed restrictions on that process. So it will be interesting to see exactly what he does with this bill.
When do legislative leaders expect this session to end, sine die?
No later than 5 p.m. Friday, May 30th. They don't have a choice about that. That's when the Constitution says the session has to end. But we will see if they can get all of their work done sooner than that.
We'll see. For more information, go to quorumcall.online. You can find audio and transcripts at kgou.org and look for Capital Insider where you get podcasts. Until next time, with John Ashley, I'm Dick Pryor.
Capital Insider, sponsored by United for Oklahoma, tribal nations building unity and economic strength to benefit all Oklahomans. More at unitedforoklahoma.com. Oklahoma thrives together.
Planet Money helps you understand the economy. We find the people at the center of the story.
Garbage in New York, that was like a controlled substance.
We show you how money influences everything.
Tell me what you like by telling me how you spend your money.
And we dig until we get answers.
I had a bad feeling you're going to bring that up.
Planet Money finds out. All you have to do is listen. The Planet Money podcast from NPR.